Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture. A better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Lemons are tight on supply coming out of a few different regions. California is very, very scarce, according to Paul Gonzalez of River City Produce Incorporated, noting supply is coming from District 2. He says it's a weather issue. The rain events had something to do with it, and California also had a wet winter. At the same time, Mexico also looks to be tighter on supply as well. Gonzalez says that getting lemons suitable for food service, notably in the 140 and 165 sizing, can be challenging for Mexico right now. He says it takes anywhere from 2 to 4 days to secure them because they're peaking on larger fruit. They also had a lot of rain and that pushed the crops back. At the same time, lemon demand seems to be steady with good movement on lemons, and that's leaving pricing on a stronger side. On choice, pricing is stronger in the mid to upper 20s. Fancy is really strong because they're getting a lot of number twos because of the weather. There are bargains though. If you use the juicing lemons, according to Gonzalez, it's up to the mid 30s on some sizes of fancy, and the number two large fruit is $20 to $30. On food service, pricing is between the 20s and low 30s. That's the kind of pricing that Gonzalez believes may stay there. With the cost of everything up, he thinks these prices are here to stay. Duda Farm Fresh Foods, a leading grower of fresh celery and radishes, is reaching consumers this fall with a new Celery Break Tradition sweepstakes. Through its consumer promotion, Duda Farm Fresh Foods aims to drive demand for fresh celery by increasing shoppers' awareness of celery's versatility and flavor-enhancing benefits in dishes from breakfast to dinner. Duda Farm Fresh Foods recognizes the fall and winter seasons are filled with more hosting and celebration events, such as football watch parties and back-to-back holidays. By putting an emphasis on cooking with celery rather than snacking, Duda Farm Fresh Foods hopes to reach even more shoppers who might not be familiar with the versatility of celery in a variety of dishes and cuisines. Participants can enter the Celery Break Tradition sweepstakes for a chance to win a grand prize pack, which includes high-end brand name items such as a porcelain rectangular roaster, food chopper, corn cob holders, a solo stove, and marshmallow roasters. Duda Farm Fresh Foods is also choosing one additional winner each week during the promotion to take home a $100 gift card along with 5 Dandy coupons. Dandy celery is available in whole stock, 1 and 2 count hearts, and a variety of fresh cut options to meet each shopper's needs. For nearly 100 years, Duda Farm Fresh Foods has been a leading grower, shipper, processor, and marketer of fresh vegetables and citrus. Known for their superior celery, the company has evolved their product assortment over the years to accommodate trends in health and wellness and to provide consumers value-added solutions that meet the needs for fresh and convenient meal and snack solutions. Primary locations include California. Bonsai Robotics, based in San Jose, provides the first computer vision automation solutions for harsh off-road environments. They are focused on environments where traditional GPS, stereo vision, time-of-flight sensors, and LIDAR-based autonomy systems fail. Its first market is orchards, specifically nut orchards, a space that has been hit hard by severe labor shortages, environmental pressure, and price pressure, and has also been challenged with decades-old auto-steer technology used in row crops that does not work. Bonsai robotic solutions are integrated with OEM farm equipment to allow vehicles to autonomously traverse orchards without human operators. Bonsai Robotics can also integrate with the many different machines used in an orchard. The company's already forged several relationships, including one with Flory Industries and with strategic partner Danfoss. Several California growers participated in trials of Bonsai Robotics technology in their fields in 2023. One is Pomona Farming. The results they saw from Bonsai Robotics were outstanding, according to Seal Howell at Pomona. The system seamlessly adapted to any field condition and has enabled them to harvest faster than when they use traditional shakers alone. It is the most transformative technology that they have seen since the advent of GPS, and it will redefine how they approach orchard management and harvesting. Bonsai is using state-of-the-art 3D vision techniques using standard durable automotive cameras to keep the cost down. In response to the record-breaking heat waves and the alarming rise in heat-related illnesses, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurmond stepped up to help the United Farm Workers Foundation and Coachella Valley farm working communities by receiving support for 200 double-wall vacuum-insulated thermal flasks. The flasks are designed to keep liquids ice cold for up to 24 hours while preventing bottle sweat and will be instrumental in safeguarding the health and well-being of farm workers facing scorching temperatures that regularly exceed 100 to 110 degrees in Fahrenheit. Heat-related illnesses are one of the leading weather-related causes of death in the United States. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics data and United Farm Workers Foundation data, between 1992 and 2023, heat stress injuries claimed the lives of over 1,000 U.S. workers and seriously injured more than 10,000 workers. In California, emergency room visits due to heat-related issues increased by 35% from 2005 to 2015, with a disproportionate impact on Black, Latino, and Asian American communities. Riverside County, encompassing Coachella, Indio, and Palm Springs, has some of the highest rates of heat-related ER visits in the state. Farm and construction workers are especially vulnerable to heat stress injuries, but workers across various industries, including warehouse employees, face risks as well. With temperatures steadily rising year after year, the threat of heat stress, related deaths, and injuries is expected to only grow if not addressed urgently. The thermal flask secured by the state superintendent is an important first step in mitigating these risks. Each flask will include essential heat stress awareness and prevention information and educate farm workers to protect themselves during extreme heat conditions. United Farm Workers Foundation representatives will coordinate grassroots outreach efforts, aligning with their ongoing heat stress awareness campaign to ensure that life-saving resources reach those who need them the most. A 9-year collaboration between Moxie Marketing and the County of Monterey Agricultural Commissioner's Office continues as the two have published a 2022 Crop and Livestock Report. This edition presents pertinent data and statistics in an easily digestible manner, paired with an engaging and visually appealing layout. Though the government mandates a report, the County of Monterey has long taken an approach that if you must do it well, that according to Moxie President and Chief Executive Officer Karen Nardoza. She says they have gone beyond marketing a legal checkbox and have consistently developed a useful publication for both the ag industry and the community at large. The report has even won national awards from Graphic Design USA. The report, themed Rooted in Serving Our Community, highlights the work and programs of the County of Monterey Agricultural Commissioner's Office. Developed in part by Moxie, the report was also formed under the guidance of the Commissioner's Office led by Juan Hidalgo, the county's newly appointed Agricultural Commissioner. The County of Monterey Agricultural Commissioner's Office is responsible for protecting the county's premium agriculture industry, preserving the environment, promoting marketplace equity for consumers and businesses, as well as safeguarding the public's health and safety. To view the report, log on to the Office of the Agricultural Commissioner of Monterey County website. Governor Gavin Newsom is expected to sign off on a slate of rules that would require large companies to disclose both their greenhouse gas emissions and climate-related financial risk. Any company located in California is well aware that it's a first mover on climate. It's a first mover on a minimum wage. That, according to Manuel Pastor, director of the University of Southern California's Equity Research Institute. Chief among the legislation on the table is the Climate Corporation Data Accountability Act, or SB 253, and the Climate-Related Financial Risk Bill, or SB 261. The former would require all public and private firms that operate in California and whose annual revenues exceed $1 billion to disclose both direct and indirect greenhouse gas emissions. If companies fail to adhere to the demands of SB 253, they could face fines of up to $500,000 a year, according to the bill. SB 261, meanwhile, would require companies that generate more than $500 million in annual revenue release climate-related financial risk reports biannually beginning in 2026. Failure to comply with SB 261 could result in administrative penalties of up to $50,000 in a reporting year. Newsom had already declared his intention to sign both of the bills in mid-September, just a day after he and State Attorney General Rob Bonta launched a lawsuit against five big oil companies that they accused of lying about climate change. For some businesses, the bills will present a particular burden simply because they will have to figure out just how extensive their emissions are, according to Pastor. But on the other hand, he says many companies will be able to advertise themselves as being green.
Just like any other nutrient, plants can suffer from iodine deficiency. However, not everyone is familiar with iodine's role as a plant nutrient. At its most basic, iodine has a role in stress mitigation, root mass enrichment, and more uniform fruit production, among other benefits.
It's acting like a micronutrient, if you will. It affects the enzymatic reactions within the plant. It affects photosynthesis. It affects root growth with the plant. It does also work within the plant to have more uniform flowering. Timing of flowering tends to be better. Another thing that works very well with iodine is stress reduction, be it heat or, as we have in California, problems caused by saline conditions. It can help with those types of issues as well. So it's a pretty hard-working little nutrient that we're working with here.
That was Doug Snyder with SQM, and he said iodine works best in a multi-use strategic plan.
The more applications, going back to fertility, looking at the four R's, the more timeliness of applications, the more multiple applications that you can do, the better. There are some applications that work the best. We work with strawberries. One of the studies we did had 24 different applications. It was fertigation. It just went on with the water. We're doing a study right now in potatoes where they're looking at fertigations, 10 different applications, one fertigation a week, or 5 days actually, shorten it up a bit. So there's a lot of different things, but multiple applications work best with iodine. A single application doesn't work as well because iodine, as many other nutrients, either gets tied up in the soil or somehow within the soil biota.
Snyder said when he's recommending multiple applications of iodine, he's saying to spoon feed the plant in small bursts. This strategy is becoming more familiar within the plant nutrient world. And like many other nutrients, though, too little or too much iodine can each have adverse effects on plants.
Definitely. And one more for you, Doug. Like any other nutrient, too much or too little iodine can have adverse effects on the plant and the surrounding area. I'm curious, can you maybe tell us about those too little iodine or too much iodine?
Yeah, with too little iodine, you'll see smaller root masses, smaller roots, not as many flowers, too much about the same way. The nice thing with UltraSol-9 fertilizer is that UltraSol K Plus is a present potassium nitrate product. UltraSol-9 can be substituted on a one-for-one, and you're making sure that you're getting the right amount of iodine, not overdosing, not underdosing. So whatever your application is right now with UltraSol K Plus, the same application rate and timing can be used with UltraSol-9, and that will get you the iodine that you need at the time that you need.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Tallstrom.
Hi friends, Jason Scott here, CEO of JCS Marketing. I want to personally invite you to My Ag Night on November 2nd. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, it's Jesse Waters from Fox News Channel. Hope to see you at My Ag Night on November 2nd. It's going to be a night you will not want to miss.
Two companies, Corteva and Bayer, provided more than half of the U.S. retail seed sales of corn, soybeans, and cotton in 2018 to 2020, according to USDA's Economic Research Service. In recent decades, the U.S. crop seed industry has become more concentrated, with fewer and larger firms dominating seed supply. Today, four firms, which include Bayer, Corteva, ChemChina, Syngenta Group, and BASF, control the majority of crop seed and agricultural chemical sales. In 2015, six firms led global markets for seeds and agricultural chemicals. The concentration can be traced to the expansion of intellectual property rights to private companies for seed improvements in the 1970s and 1980s. As biotechnology advanced, companies created genetically modified seed varieties such as herbicide-tolerant or insecticide-resistant corn, soybeans, and cotton. Mergers occurred between companies that produced and sold pesticides, seed treatments, crop seeds, and seed traits. As a result, the U.S. crop seed sector has become highly integrated with agricultural chemicals and has become more concentrated. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey tracks the rice harvest progress.
The rice crop, we've seen the heat and the dryness there as well, with some impact on the crop, but it's been more positive. We've seen a very fast harvest pace, and we've reached the three quarters mark on the rice harvest on October 1st. That is 6 points ahead of the 5-year average of 69%, 7 points ahead of last year is 68%. The only state reporting a significant delay in harvesting is California, where, of course, the cooler weather has slowed crop progress. only 20% harvested in California versus the five-year average of 31%. Compare that to our number one production state, Arkansas, 81% harvested, five-year average is 72%.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. The dairy industry can see firsthand what Novus International's brand new motto, Made of More, is all about during the World Dairy Expo this week in Madison, Wisconsin. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more.
Novus combines global scientific research with local insights to develop innovative, advanced technology that helps protein producers around the world achieve better results. Novus ruminant technical manager, Dr. Hannah Tucker, says it's all about providing more knowledge to individual producers.
What it means is we're really reevaluating what the brand of Novus can mean for our customers. So for me personally, I take it back to more research, more information, more involvement with our customers as well, because not everything is going to be the perfect fit. And I just think throughout the entire company, it's been really individualized for what we want to look at, but more is definitely the key word there.
Dr. Tucker will share her thoughts on key harvest challenges during her talk titled Reduce Your Risk, Successfully Manage Your Milk Components When Changing Forage Sources at 10:30 a.m. on October 5th in the atrium of the exhibition hall.
Currently in the industry, we're really looking at more of a component-based industry. That's where a lot of the profit is coming from for our producers. However, at the end of the day, they have to spend money to make money. And the money that they're spending is on their feed sources. That's one of the number one areas to spend money. And you have to really evaluate what's going into a ration for a dairy cow so that we can make sure that it's being utilized to its fullest potential.
When it comes to forage impacts on milk components, she says there are two areas, milk fat and milk protein.
So with the milk fat, that's coming from our volatile fatty acid that's going to be produced in the rumen. So those forage sources that are coming in the ration are a huge component of that. And then for our milk protein, we're also thinking about the amino acids that are going into the rumen from either protein sources, from different feed additives. One of those products would be our MFP product, which is actually going to work on milk fat and milk protein. So that's where, as a company, we have a very specific interest that also is able to align with the industry.
She adds World Dairy Expo is a great resource for the industry to come together and to learn from each other and experts.
The best part of the dairy industry is that we have a lot of creative people. I don't mean that in the artistic fashion. I mean in the way they're able to get everything done. I love being part of the dairy industry just because every farm is different and we can learn from each other and we're able to really interact and help one another out as we grow as an industry in our knowledge and in our production values. And as we progress, and we're one of the more progressive industries in agriculture when it comes to new research, we have to stay on top of it so that we can keep moving forward.
For more information about how Novus is bringing more to dairy farmers during World Dairy Expo, visit novusint.com and click on events. Michael Clements reporting.
The International Fresh Produce Association has announced that the Chief Public Policy Officer, Robert Genther, has departed the association. IFPA will immediately begin a search to identify his replacement. The August milk margin triggered the eighth consecutive payment for dairy producers who obtained dairy margin coverage for the 2023 program year. August income over feed margin is $6.46 per hundredweight, with projected DMC payments totaling $120 million. To date, including the projected August payments, dairy producers have received more than $1.2 billion in much-needed economic support for 2023, and margin forecasts indicate the likelihood of more to come before the end of the calendar year. USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Duchesneau says while livestock and crop producers alike have been financially impacted by catastrophic natural disaster events, dairy producers' financial stressors have been compounded by significant market volatilities. DMC is a voluntary risk management program administered by USDA's Farm Service Agency and offers protection to dairy producers when the difference between the all milk price and the average feed price falls below a certain dollar amount selected by the producer.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.